The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Andy Holding to look ahead to the best of Monday's action. We're going to look at one race at Newton Abbott, one race at Bath, and one race at Hamilton, spreading the joy on Monday. 3 o'clock Newton Abbott, 3:50 Bath, 4:40 Hamilton. We'll be previewed in just a moment, but first things first, hello and how are you, Mr. Andrew Holding?
Very rare and strange feeling here in the studio today to be actually in on a Sunday.
Yes, true.
It's been a while.
You're very religious, aren't you, Andy? That's the thing. No, just lazy.
Yeah, just lazy. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, normally, I had a bed quite early on a Sunday because of the podcast, obviously. Haven't done one today, which is a real culture shock. But making up for it by doing this podcast.
Absolutely. And I think it's fair to say Monday's action is not the strongest. But there are winners to be found.
There are. Managed to find three. And I think they're all reasonably findable. There seems a fair amount of logic attached to all three.
Okay. Just before we touch on those, we'll just have a quick look back to the rest of Saturday. Bronze Angel was the winner of the Cambridgeshire, easy for me to say, at Newmarket. I was talking to Ross Briley yesterday, saying that Bronze Angel is a horse I just can't get on side with. It's one of those horses I've got nothing against the horse. Admirable horse, running really well at the minute. But it's one of those ones I would never even consider backing. It's one of those ones, if it wins, I'll let it win. But to win two in a row is pretty impressive, isn't it? When you think about what it takes to win one. Louis Stewart doing the steering on Marcus Tregoning's Charge this time. And 14-1... You know, all the signs were there, weren't they?
Well, yeah, obviously he missed out the year before because he was down the field beyond Educate. But yeah, he'd won it the year before that, 2012. He'd been in the wilderness a little while until he bounced back at York when he won a very competitive race in a quick time, such a quick time that I thought he was a good thing next time out wherever he ran. And I followed that race pretty religiously. I'd backed horses like Bartak and Alfred Hutchinson, Hit the Jackpot, Bradley, all those kind of horses that ridden around him, and the form worked out pretty well. So the speed figure looked as though it was good and he was worth following. Then they dropped him back to 7 furlongs at Ascot. That didn't work out when he got a bad track position. Again, he got a poor draw and they ran him in the big Goodwood race behind Red Avenger. But then his last three runs have all been excellent again. Back to York, he'd run well behind Short Squeeze. Chased down Championship at Doncaster in a really good trial when Velox was behind him, and he upheld the form with Velox while winning the Cambridge. He obviously came from the other side of the track when most of the fancied runners were towards the stand side. And he wound up a worthy winner, to be fair. You know, won by two and a quarter lengths, which is a fair margin for a competitive handicap. And given the right conditions, i.e. strongly run mile one, seemingly at Newmarket on fast ground, he's probably a Group 3 horse.
Mm. Yeah. No,
and he's probably run to that level yesterday for Marker 99. You know, I think it was a good Cambridgeshire. I wouldn't say it was a vintage one because the three-year-olds disappointed, generally. Usually the three-year-olds perform a little bit more stronger than what they did. You know, Maverick Wave and Extremity with the two big players from that division this year, and they were right down the field. But all the way through the list, you know, you've got good solid horses like Cornrow and Educate. Of course, last year's winner finished ninth, which is a fair idea of how good this race was this year. Tenor had been running well in listed races and good quality races. He was fifth off top weight. So there was a nice sort of shape to it. And I think the form will hold up. The time of the race is very good. In fact, Bronze Angel has run on my figures his fastest ever time.
Oh, wow. Okay, so Bronze Angel from Velox. Nice of you to tell me. Bookstay, Tenor, Tiger's Tail, and Big Johnny D. Of course, at William Hill, we were offering the mammoth seven places each
Unprecedented.
Way. Yeah, not bad at all. So, well
Certainly
done.
Helped my each way.
Yes, you were on Tiger's Tail.
I backed Tiger's Tail, yeah. I didn't need the seventh place, but one or two firms went six places. And yeah, 33-1, I thought he'd run well. And I pretty much I napped him, but it was a daft nap, really, because I knew he wouldn't win. I could have gone for anything, really, but I thought, hey-ho, let's go for a big one. You never know. Mm. But my feeling was that he would finish in the first half dozen, and he actually finished exactly where probably I would almost have picked him beforehand, sixth.
Yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair. On the cards, Tiggy Wiggy won the Cheveley Park Stakes at 6-4. Possibly the most obvious 6-4 shot you're going to find. Everything in Tiggy Wiggy's favour, coming up against horses that she'd already beaten. In hindsight, this was a superb price, wasn't it? But it's one of those things that people will have had doubts about, you know, this or that. High Celebrity was very well backed, finished third in the end, the French Raider at 9-4. Anthem Alexander second at 5-1 proves that the York run was pretty solid. But Tiggy Wiggy, she's handling everything that's thrown at her, I think it's fair to say, with flying colours.
Definitely, yeah. Probably one of the most durable two-year-olds and quality two-year-olds that Richard Hannon has had, certainly fillies-wise. Started off this year winning at Kempton on the all-weather and almost unbeaten throughout the year. One or two bumps in the road along the way, but she's pretty much danced every dance, and that Lowther win was an incredibly fast time. For those that do compile speed figures, there was only one horse she could back yesterday. She posted a huge number win, winning the Lowther, beating Anthem Alexander and, of course, Cursory Glance, who won the Moyglare. Proper Group 1 form. And it's amazing how that race yesterday worked out on the numbers. I got Tiggy Wiggy, the top two-year-old this year, with a 95. I got Anthem Alexander with a 94. High Celebrity with an 88. Terror with an 87 when it won on debut. And Tender, who broke the track record at Kempton, with 84. Mm. So they finished in the order that the numbers suggested they would. So it was a believable race. The form was really good. I mentioned in the show yesterday that I thought the race might throw up several possible Guineas contenders. Probably on reflection, maybe one or two of those would be at Guineas horses, but I still maintain I think that is the best form, and if one or two of them are trained towards the Guineas, it wouldn't surprise me if they were good enough to certainly be in the mix come the day, because they've proven that they are Group 1 horses. They prove that they can go in a fast time, and they also prove that they handle Newmarket as well, which is a feather in the cap. I'll be amazed if at least a couple of these don't end up running in the Nell Gwyn, in the big trial, perhaps Tender or Terror. Those are the two horses I think might go down that route. I think Tiggy Wiggy will always be a sprinter. Anthem Alexander, I'm not sure about her, and High Celebrity, she's a maybe. But I just think it was a really good race this year.
Mm. Of course, the potential aim for Tiggy Wiggy will be the Prix de l'Abbaye. But, of course, Richard Hughes wouldn't be able to ride there, would he? Wouldn't be able to wait.
I've got a feeling that's almost her career in a nutshell. She does look a very, very much set two-year-old that is beyond her years.
Yeah.
And now she's got to take advantage of that while she's in this kind of form and the allowances she gets. I think next year she's almost, I won't say done for, but life becomes a lot more tougher.
Oh, yeah.
So this is her big, this is her career-defining run in the Abbey.
And who do you think would be getting the leg up?
Well, it's all about the weights, isn't it? Obviously, one or two of the light jockeys have been banded around, like your Jimmy Quinns and you know, even Paul Hannigan's been mentioned, and one or two apprentices who can obviously do the weight, you know, maybe like Cam Hardy.
What would the weight be? Eight?
I think it's 8 stone, isn't it? Something.
Bang on eight.
I'm not sure. Don't quote me, but it's not much over 8 stone.
Right, okay. I was just thinking, because I thought it'd be slightly more than that, and that would maybe factor in someone, maybe Sean Levy, but I think his lowest is something like 8.788.
Yeah.
Obviously, that would rule him out, but do you think she'd be as effective? Does Richard Hughes make her, or is she just very classy?
Well, it's obviously a massive factor, isn't it?
Yeah.
The weight's going to be a big issue, but he's ridden her on the last 5 starts. He knows her inside out. Sean Levy's, of course, ridden her before, but as you said, he probably can only do 8.7, which is going to be a concern. They might go down the Sean Levy route, perhaps if let's say they've got to put up a couple of pound overweight.
Yeah.
Say it is 8.5.
Yeah.
That she carries.
Perhaps. Yeah.
Maybe that's worth it, because she's got so much to play with.
Mm.
That will be an interesting development over the week. See who ends up riding.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see with that one. Okay, we'll move on to three races on Monday. We'll start with the 3 o'clock at Newton Abbot. It is a handicap chase over the extended 2 mile trip, a class four event with seven runners down to go to post. And only one of them arrives here with winning form. That's going concern for Evan Williams and Paul Maloney. The other ones seem, perhaps, I think it's fair to say, either out of form or beginning to look slightly badly handicapped. You've got Lysino, who did get his head in front, but since then has been placed, nothing better. Good Day is slightly frustrating, I think it's fair to say. And then you've got others that are out of form. Amuse Me might be tempting down at the bottom with AP McCoy on board, but Going Concern arrives here off the back of a pretty nice win at Cartmel. Game.
Yeah, I like him, and that's one of the reasons I'm gone for him. He's got a touch of quality in relation to this race. I think he's with the right trainer who'll help him develop his career in the next year or so. And he's had three runs over fences, and he improved every time. First of all, just had a look around Worcester. Stepped up on that with a good run at Utoxa, then, of course, won last time at Cartmel in game fashion, as you quite rightly pointed out. Beat Endeavour, who went on to win next time out at Kelso. And he took the running up jumping in the last, but that long run in around the top bend, saw that race yo-yo in between Endeavour and Going Concern. Endeavour went a couple of lengths clear, looked as though he was going to win, but then tied up on the running, and it allowed Going Concern to re-rally and come back and claim the spoils late on. So it was a good... It was a good effort mentally to come back after he's on the canvas. Not many horses get headed and then come back again, particularly against a subsequent winner. He's gone up £3 for that, but I don't think that's insurmountable here tomorrow. As you said, you pointed out the likely dangers. And it's going to be a strongly run race as well, which should suit Going Concern because he's a strong traveller. Rex Spectio's in the race. I presume he'll go off in front. But largely speaking, a lot of these aren't as reliable, or they're probably more out of form than Going Concern. I think Lysino is going to be a player from the Newland stable, given that they won the big race on Saturday with Mark Lane. That yard seems to be flourishing, and that horse has got a bit of form in similar races. But I do like Going Concern, and I think he could easily add to that Cartmel victory.
Okay, Going Concern the pick then. In the 3 o'clock, next up is the 3:50 from Bath. We're going on the flat for a handicap over 5 furlongs, a class 4 event with 7 going to post. We'll start with one horse here that I wouldn't say I like, but I can still, whenever I picture her, it's her maiden win that sticks in my mind. She won at Haydock, and it's Red Lady for Brian Meehan, who that day impressed me, and then she's been really overmatched for the last sort of year or so. She's just dropping down to a level which appears to suit, and she's in good nick at the minute.
Yeah, again, another... one that I've just tried to keep it simple from a tipping perspective. There didn't appear to be that much on offer for me, and I've just gone with Red Lady because of her form at Bath. She's 2 for 2 at the track, so she clearly loves it here. Brian Meehan's obviously recognised that, and he sent her here again. He's found another good opportunity for her. She just basically loves firm ground. She's very much like a side Dutch art that loves a bit of a road. And ever since that win at Haydock on a second start back in May last year, all her best forms is on a rattling hard surface. She has been over face, as you said, on many occasions, but some of them have been really good early on in the season. Don't forget she was third behind that Lightning Moon at Haydock on ground that was a bit too soft for, and third out behind Algar Lad at Musselburgh in a much better race than the one she faces tomorrow. And I like the way she battled on last time out as well. She was entitled to sort of keel under in the latter stages, but she found plenty of pressure to withstand the final thrust of Royal Brave. And, you know, even though there's one or two in this race who've got form at the track, most notably the Dandy Yank, then I think her cut two course and distance wins represent the best form.
Okay. So you're happy to stick with Red Lady?
Absolutely, yeah. Despite, you know, another £3 to carry if you're a weights and measures man. I don't think that's a burden too severe.
Okay, fair enough. The final race that we're going to look at is from Hamilton Park. It's the 4:40. And it's a handicap over 6 furlongs, another class 4 event. 16 runners go to post in this one. And in some way, shape or form, you could probably make a case for most of them, either on the pick of their form. Some of them are starting to perhaps look well handicapped, even if they are out of form. The likes of Alexander Kollontai comes here carrying a penalty, so it's obviously in good nick. But it's a pretty open race this, Andy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't normally make a rule or a habit of tipping in these kind of races, but I did quite like the run of Classy Anna to Air last week against the bias at the Western meeting when she was fifth behind Noble Asset. Obviously, I made a note that day, like a lot of probably in running race watchers that have marked up horses that got bad track positions and didn't race up against the standside rail. Obviously Noble Asset did, and Classian was one of those ones that made a bit of a meal of it, didn't get a clear run when trying to go for a run up the stand rail, trying to go for the golden highway, as it were. And I love the way she came home that day. She probably does want a stiffer track, and most of her best form seems to be at this venue. You look at her last five runs here. Last five runs are second back in May behind Busy Bimbo. She's won her next two starts, both over this course, and then she beat Captain Royale in August. And then that run in a really hot race won by Baron Run, who obviously reopposes, that was another good commendable effort, only get beaten a length of three quarters in a race similar to this tomorrow. So I think she's going to be there or thereabouts tomorrow based on her overall profile, her run at Ayr. And I do like Jim Graham Lee riding for Jim Goldie as well. He seems to have struck up a good partnership with a lot of his horses this year.
Mm. Okay, then. Fair enough. So Classy on the pick.
Yep.
Okay, great stuff, Andy. Can you just spin us through your three picks for Monday afternoon,
yep,
please?
Yep, 3 o'clock at Newton Abbott. Hopefully, Evan Williams' going concern can follow up that win at Cartmel. 3:50 at Bath, Red Lady, to make it 3 for 3 at that particular venue. And I think Classy Anne will run really well. Hopefully, at decent odds in the 4:40 at Hamilton.
Okay, great stuff. Thanks for your time, Andy.
No problem.
Best of luck with those picks on Monday.
Cheers, bud.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.